Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. 30 minutes of motivation, inspiration, education, without any manipulation. Gosh, I've said that hundreds of times, and I hope you're listening to me. Because we don't try to con anyone here. We're not soliciting money. We're not trying to get you to join up. We're not asking you to give it up and fess it up, nothing like that. We just want you to listen. Listen as I try to verify and identify the plan of God for your life. And if you have any interest at all, then you have the freedom and the privacy to orient and adjust to the plan. But my objective for the many years we've been doing this show is to give you accurate information. Not useless speculation, but accurate information. Information that will give you insight into God's plan for your life. It's my prayer that you'll understand this. My prayer that you'll grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if, perhaps, you've never trusted that, if you've never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, I never did till I was 22 years old. I never went to church. No one in my family went to church. No one told me about anything about God, except when my mother, when I was 11 years old, sent me off for summer camp and I heard about God. But I wasn't mad at God or anything like that. I just didn't know anything. And one day God found me. What a wonderful day that was, the day that I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. If you don't know Him, I pray you will. I pray you will introduce yourself to Him. I pray this show will help you understand what Christ has done for you on the cross and the resurrection, and the guarantees that He makes for you in eternal life in the future. It's so easy. The Bible says, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's all I did. That's all most of the people that I know have done that are believers. They simply ask God to save them. They simply told God the Father they're believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and they want to receive Him as their Savior. And it's not some weird, miraculous, weird thing that happens. It's just an act of faith. God said it, you believe it, and it's a done deal. But once you accept Christ as your Savior, that's not all of it. The next question is, what does God want me to do with my life? What should I do? Where should I go? What should I be up to? Any Christian who has accepted Christ as his Savior must reach spiritual maturity. The Bible's clear about that. God wants you to grow up to be a spiritually mature Christian. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That word grow is what we call a verb, and it's the verb in the Greek New Testament pronounced agzano. And in the Greek New Testament, that verb carries a mandate. It's a divine command. It's not a recommendation. However, no one ever grew up spiritually by singing songs about God or singing to God. Spiritual growth only comes one way. In 2 Timothy 2:15, the Bible clearly says we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word study is another verb, another imperative verb, another command, the Greek word spoudazo, which means to be diligent. God wants you to be diligent to understand His plan to grow and the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because the most phenomenal life awaits you as you learn and deploy the flatline on your soul. Flatline, 10 unique problem-solving devices taught by my pastor many years ago, which summarize a Christian life in a nutshell. When you learn these 10 problem-solving devices, you can begin to experience the wonderful life God's given you. The rebound is the first one, confessing your known sin, then the filling of the Holy Spirit, and then the faith rest drill, and then grace orientation, biblical orientation, coming to a personal sense of destiny, developing virtue love for God and impersonal love for others, and then eventually sharing the happiness of God in occupation with the Lord Jesus Christ. But the believer who reaches maturity must have the discipline to contain his emotions. As well as the focus to eliminate any distraction and the commitment to finish the race. So it takes discipline, focus, and commitment to become a mature believer in your life. Now, you and I both have emotions. We know that. They're natural and they're normal. What is not normal is to let your emotions drive your thinking and cause you to be insecure or to have some sort of fear. Emotions, or an emotion, is a system of feeling, in contrast to a system of thinking. But the spiritual life that we have been told to live in the Bible is lived by thinking, not by getting emotional. The proof of this is the mandates of Scripture, such as Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. It does not say, let these emotions be in you that were also in Christ Jesus. As a man, he had emotions, but he did not let his emotions drive him. You remember he said, Father, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. When he went to the cross, he died for us, took our place, bore our sins, resurrected from the grave, seated at the right hand of the Father right now, this very moment, awaiting the shouted order to return. So we're to think like he thought. In Proverbs 23:7, the Bible tells us, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. As a man thinks in his heart, not as he feels, as he thinks. And then in Romans 12:2, Paul wrote these words, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renovating your thinking. Modern religion today places a great emphasis on you having an emotional experience when you come to church. An emotional high from the worship service, hoping to cause you to, quote, feel the presence of God. The problem with that is that God doesn't operate on emotions. And you cannot appeal to God's emotions in order to gain favorable treatment from Him. His unfailing love is not based on appreciation for what you express in worship. In other words, He cannot be manipulated by you in worship. If you love God, you truly love God, and you want to obey God, it's just that simple. If you love God, you will obey God. That's all you got to do is obey Him. Well, where does it say that in the Bible? 1 John 5:3. This is the love of God, that we keep His mandates, and His mandates are not a burden. If you love God, just obey God. And I just gave you some earlier verses about studying and growing and learning. Unfortunately, most of the nod to God crowd on Sunday morning just go through the ritual, and there's no reality to it. I call them conventional Christians, caricatures of the real Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what Ezekiel wrote about these sort of people in Ezekiel 33:31. He said, so they come to you as people do, and they sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they talk about love, they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. So there's the game that most people play on Sunday morning, the nod to God crowd. Come to church, dress up, look right, sound right, smell right, but don't do what they're supposed to do when they leave the back doors of the church. In spite of what they might have heard from the preacher, they don't do it. The verse that should reflect our attitude towards the preaching of God's word is found in Jeremiah 15:16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Are you hungry for the word of God? That's all I'm looking for. I'm looking for somebody that's hungry for the Word of God. Hungry in Houston, hungry in San Antonio, hungry in San Diego, hungry in Knoxville, hungry in Green Bay, Wisconsin, hungry in all of the many radio stations we broadcast on across this country, 110 stations. Are you hungry for God's Word? As we move into the year 2023, I'm going to double down on insisting that you learn how to live the spiritual life and that you get under the ministry of a well-qualified pastor, no matter what it takes, because you cannot continue to allow your emotions to hold you hostage. If you don't gain control over your emotions, you will always be held hostage to fear and intimidation. Emotional appreciation is normal. I mean, we all have emotions. There are a lot of things that I appreciate. A great view is beautiful. A beautiful picture, a great movie, may indeed trigger your emotions. But that's where it ends, because emotions are generally just appreciation and respect. But they're not sorrow and fear. They can be. But our job with emotions is it's an appreciation thing. So if I'm out night fishing in a bass boat and the moon is full and it's a beautiful night and I'm sailing down the lake, I get an emotional experience. I appreciate it. I thank God for that opportunity. Or if I see something beautiful, a beautiful movie or something, my emotions may kick in. I may get teary-eyed. But that's normal. The problem that's not normal is allowing your emotions to override what you know to be true. Here's a question for you. Have you used the faith rest drill, problem-solving device number 3, to contain your emotional fear and emotions manipulating you? Do you have a relaxed mental attitude that comes from being filled with the Holy Spirit, problem-solving device number 2, and occupation with Christ, problem-solving device number 10? You cannot let your emotions govern your spiritual life, and they will. If you're not careful, you will be manipulated by your emotions, and they will override what you know to be true. Note the fine balance between emotions producing happiness and the spectrum, and emotions producing misery. The fine line between happiness and misery in your soul is determined by which way your emotions go. Do they respond to the way you think with Word of God, or do they go to the old sin nature? So you have a sin nature. You have a soul. You have a body. You have a soul. You have mentality. You have volition. You have conscience, self-consciousness. And in the mentality of your soul, you have emotions, a genuine appreciator that God gave you, but not a dictator, not to control you, not to manipulate you. And a lot of the pain and misery you go through is because you don't let your emotions, or it's because you do let your emotions control you. You can't afford to live like that. You're going to either respond with faith in what the Word of God says and have confidence in God, or you will react. There's a difference between responding and reacting. If you don't respond with faith and confidence in God's Word, you will react with mental attitude sins of emotional fear and worry. Now, what does the Bible say about that? In Psalm 56:3, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in Thee. That's divine viewpoint. And that sort of thinking only comes by renovating your mind. And it's a daily task. Your emotions are not going to go anywhere. And as you grow older, you're going to experience sickness. You're going to experience health issues. You may experience financial issues. You may experience a lot of things. And if you let your emotions take over, you will lose your direction. You will lose your ability to concentrate. You will melt into a heap of worry and fret and fear. And that's not the Christian life. That's not the confidence that God has for you in His care and His control in the situation that you're in. So if you're in that sort of situation, just go to Psalm 56:3 and claim it. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in Thee. Afraid is an emotional override. That's your emotions causing fear. You must think divine viewpoint. Emotional stress, for example, causes people to act on their impulse. The emotions of fear, which is a sin, that causes flight. The emotions of disgust causes you to repulse and get mad at somebody to respond. The emotion of anger can cause violence. There's no divine power in your emotions. The power is in the thought, and that thought must be the Word of God learned and applied into your life, that which we call Bible doctrine. Without Bible doctrine in your soul, you have no power, and you will always be manipulated by your emotions. So if you want to share the happiness of God, that's the greatest emotion you could have, sharing the happiness of God, problem-solving device number 9 in the flat line of your soul. Do you know those 10 problem-solving devices? Would you like a book on it? I've written a book that details every one of them, and you can have it free of charge if you just go to our website, RickHughesMinistries.org. RickHughesMinistries.org. Now, do not go to Richard Hughes Ministries. That's not me. I am RickHughesMinistries.org. And you can find our book on Christian problem solving. And it details all 10 of those problem solving devices. We also have a bookmark we can send you to put in your Bible. that list all 10 of them too. So get in touch with me if you don't know what those 10 problem-solving devices are. But a good example of your emotions misleading you is in your salvation. Some people say, I don't feel saved. Your salvation is never based on how you feel, but it's based on what God said. In 1 John 5:11 through 13, this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. To say you don't feel saved when you have believed in Christ is an emotional override. What do you think you're supposed to feel? When I accepted Christ as my Savior, I didn't feel funny. I didn't hear any harps. I didn't see any angels. I just expressed my faith in prayer and believed God did what He told me He's going to do. He saved me. But you run into people that say, well, I don't really feel saved. And that's because their sin nature is causing them to do things they don't want to do. They've never learned how to control their sin natures. The same can be said for the spiritual life. The spiritual life operates on divine power, not how you feel. So let's suppose you committed some sort of sin that's embarrassing to you. And you use rebound. You go to 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us from all wrongdoing. You rebound the sin, but now you don't really feel like God forgave you. That's guilt associated with your emotions. And I can assure you, Satan would like nothing better than to have you sit in the corner in a pile of guilt, crying, saying, I don't feel worthy of forgiveness. Some religions would have you try to make it up to God by doing something generous so you could then hope that God was being pleased with you. That's you trying to manipulate God. This is you trying to appeal to God's favor or His emotions, which He doesn't possess. So 1 John 1:9 tells you how to be forgiven. Just obey what it says and move on and do not look back at your failure. Quit looking backwards. That's what Satan wants you to do. Look at you. You're not a very good Christian. Look what you did 4 or 5 years ago. Maybe God never really forgave you for that, and then you feel guilty. In Philippians 3:13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, I forget the things that are behind, and I reach forward unto those things that are before me. That's your objective, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To keep pressing forward, not letting your emotions drag you back down into a compost pile of guilt and fear. And that happens so easy. You can get mad easy driving. You can let your emotions kick in. You can get mad easy talking about someone talking about you, and your emotions kick in. Once those emotions kick in, you can bet heavy sins coming right behind it some way or another. Some way you're going to react, and some way it's going to, whatever your weakness is, you're going to be sinning big time because you let your emotions take over. Don't allow your emotions to become dominating, especially a dominating, irrational force in your life. Internal pressure in the thinking of your soul can cause you to let your emotions kick in and cause you to take over your thoughts. What am I talking about when I'm talking about internal pressure? I'm talking about sickness and health and things that you face internally, not externally. That's Satan and what he does. Internally. Your biggest enemy is you. Remember, you have three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the devil is not omnipresent. He can't be in Europe and America at the same time. And sometimes you make the mistake of saying, the devil's after me. No, he's not. Sure, he knows who you are. Sure, he has a file on you, but he doesn't have time to come to your town and mess with you. And so you've got your flesh to deal with. And your flesh was where the emotions rule. And once the emotions take over, you quit thinking. Remember, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Now you're not thinking. Now you're feeling. Now your emotions are controlling you. And now guilt, now fear, now intimidation, whatever the emotional response is, that's controlling you. You quit thinking and you went emotional on me. You can't live like that. Internal pressure is not necessarily the result of you failing spiritually, but it's rather the weight of a constant pain and constant suffering, which can indeed open the door to you being doubtful and fearful, especially if you have a disease that you're fighting and you're trying hard to get control of it, and it frustrates you, and you're going day to day just lucky to even still be alive, and your emotions can kick in. I remember, this is a story, true story about me one time. I was traveling years and years and years ago in Georgia, and my appendix ruptured. While I was on the road, my appendix ruptured. And I didn't know what was wrong. And I went to the hospital, and you know what they told me? They said, you have gas. No, I had a ruptured appendix. And it was 10 days before that when they operated on me. And I can remember laying in the hotel room, weeping, wondering, God, what's wrong with me? Why doesn't somebody show me what's wrong with me? I knew I was sick, but couldn't get any answers. And my emotions tended to kick in and cause me to weep. That's normal. That's understandable. But you don't have to live by the control of your emotions. That internal pressure that you face is not necessarily the result of spiritual failure. It's just the weight of that constant pain and constant suffering. And that's the weight that can open the door to doubt and fear in your life. So is there a solution to internal pressure? The internal pressure that will steal your relaxed mental attitude? You bet there is. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that always having all sufficiency in all things, you may abound to every good work production. Did you hear that? God is able to make all grace abound towards you, and you will have sufficiency in everything. That means He's not abandoning you. He's not throwing you under the bus. He hasn't forgot about what's going on with you. See, unlike Satan, who is not omnipresent, God is omnipresent, and He is omniscient, and He is omnipotent, and He is with you 24/7. The Lord Jesus Christ lives in you 24/7. The Holy Spirit indwells you, the Bible tells us. So yes, God is intimately aware of the suffering you're going through. And yes, He does have the solution for that suffering. And that is your faith and your trust in Him. The divine solution to internal pressure is 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. The Scriptures warn you about letting Satan take control. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, don't let Satan get an advantage over you, for we're not ignorant of his devices. Yep, he will play with your mind. He will try to get you to fear. He will try to get you to doubt. He will try to get you to have a pity party and go into self-pity and feel sorry for yourself. That's not how you live the Christian life. Don't forget now, you are what you think, not what you think you are. Listen to me again. You are what you think, not what you think you are. You are what you think. And Satan will defeat you from ever reaching any spiritual maturity or ever bringing maximum glorification for God if you don't learn how to think and quit letting your emotions discourage you. Quit letting your emotions drive you. That's not what drives the Christian life. You've got to learn to quit letting your emotions control you. You've got to learn to renovate your thinking with God's Word. You've got to learn the Word of God, use the Word of God, rejoice in God's provision, and quit being a spiritual wimp. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, the Bible clearly says, there is no testing overtaken you, but such as with common to man, and God is faithful. You hear that? God is faithful. He didn't throw you under the bus. He hadn't forgot about you. He knows what you're going through. He is faithful, and He will not permit you to be tested beyond your capability, but with the testing will provide the solution so that you may be able to endure it. I'm going to read that one more time. You need to remember it. No testing has overtaken you, but as such as is common to man. God is faithful. He will not permit you to be tested beyond your capability. But with the testing, He will provide the solution so that you may be able to endure the testing. This is what glorifies God to the maximum, when you pass the test, when you don't fall into the fear panic ploy, when you don't get into emotional revolt of the soul, when you stand firm on those 10 problem-solving devices, putting your faith and your trust in the finished work of Christ on the cross for your salvation, and your faith and trust in the power of God's Word and the Holy Spirit in regards to your Christian life as you go through it daily. Yep, you're getting older. Yes, you're having experiences that you didn't experience before. Yes, you're going through trials and tribulations. What a wonderful time. An opportunity to glorify God to the maximum. An opportunity to demonstrate to the world what it's like to be a mature believer and not focus on self, but focus on the grace of God. Are you listening to me? Are you understanding this? You cannot let your emotions control you. They will cause you to melt into a pile of pity. You can't live like that. That's not the Christian life. That's not the way God designed it. He designed you to be victorious in Christ Jesus, using His Word, using the filling of the Holy Spirit, and glorifying Him to the maximum. You have that opportunity to do it. It's up to you. Just my job to try to make it plain and bring it for you so you can think about it. That's why I come to you every Sunday morning, same time, same place, so you learn these things and hopefully get under a great pastor that can teach you the Word of God so you can apply it into your life. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.
You'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Floodline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stick around. It'll be a small time of motivation, some inspiration, some education, always done without any type of manipulation because we don't manipulate people. We don't try to solicit money. We're not trying to sell you something. We are not trying to get you to join anything. We simply want to give you information. Information that I believe will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if you do that, then you are free to orient and adjust to the plan. If you're new to The Floodline, a lot of stations are just coming online now. We're beginning to broadcast in new cities, new areas. You may ask yourself, how do these shows benefit me? And that's a fair question. As my staff and I expand and add additional costs for production and broadcast, we take comfort in God's grace provisions because we know that He provides the finances and we're not out trying to hustle money. He provides the inspiration. We're not trying to hustle listeners. We get it accurate, get it right, get it straight so that you can understand it. The objective of producing The Floodline is to make you wealthy, not financially, not like some of these financial preachers you may hear today, but to make you wealthy spiritually. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4:7, we have this treasure in our earthly vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. The word treasure, he said, we have a treasure in our earthly vessels. The word treasure used in the Greek New Testament is the word thesaurus. You've heard it before. It's a word treasure, thesaurus. Colossians 2, he wrote that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Two key words, understanding, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, in Christ Jesus. God wants to make you rich, to give you spiritually rich, to give you a wonderful, meaningful, full life. So as we move into this new year, you may be wondering what you can expect in the year 2023. And I don't blame you, because I wonder also. For example, will the United States of America survive another year with all the chaos and confusion that we have in politics? Will the United States of America wind up being dragged into a war with Russia through NATO support for the Ukraine? Will this be the year that the Lord Jesus Christ returns for His church, what we know as the rapture? Listen to 1 Thessalonians 4:15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. That's called the exit resurrection, the rapture of the church. If that were to happen today, you would simply be raptured out. You'd be taken away. People would be looking all over town for you, but they wouldn't find you because you would be with the Lord. And there have been a lot of books written about something like this and what could happen when it does happen. What about airplane pilots flying planes that are Christians? And what about people driving cars that are Christians? Will they crash? Will they wreck? All this sort of stuff. And probably so. With no one to pilot it, no one to drive it, I imagine it would. So I'm sure there will be a lot of chaos and confusion. When that happens, where did all these people go? Or maybe it's not as many people as you think. So could it be the year that Christ will return to His church? That would be amazing, wouldn't it? Could this possibly be the year that God would even call you home? Yes, home. In other words, is your life on earth almost over? Hebrews 9:27 tells us, and as it is appointed for men to die one time, and after that, the judgment. In Genesis 3:19, the Lord said, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. That's what God told Adam. One sad fact about death is that you may actually already be dead. You may be what we call a walking dead man, and I'm speaking of spiritual death. In John 3:6, Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. In other words, there are two births. The first is a physical birth. The second is a spiritual birth. And without that second birth, you will die in your sins. And you will be judged eternally guilty of separation from God in the lake of fire. I don't know who's listening to me today. I have no clue. I know we've played this show in over 100 cities across America. And a lot of times, people that are not Christians don't want to take time to listen to a show about the Bible. But just in case you are listening, just in case you are the one that has never accepted Christ as your Savior, please listen. You must have that second birthday, or you will die in your sins and be judged eternally guilty of separation from God in the lake of fire. I'm not telling you that you have to straighten up and fly right. It's impossible for anybody to straighten up and fly right. You can't earn God's acceptance. Because the Bible says, for by grace are we saved through faith. It's a gift from God and not of works, lest anyone should brag about it. So I pray that this would be the year that you would accept Christ as your Savior and begin your new life. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That doesn't mean you'll change physically. It means spiritually you're born again. You are spiritually born again. You become a spiritual baby, and God wants you to grow up and become a spiritual adult. That change is not something anyone would recognize and see. You could pray and accept Christ as your Savior, and no one would be able to tell you did it unless you told him you did it. But God is aware, and God the Holy Spirit will come to live inside of you. God's Word will direct you and guide you if you learn it and use it. And the new person you will be is a new spiritual being. that will live forever without eternity, throughout eternity with God. But on the other hand, if you're already a Christian, and maybe this could be you, maybe this just might be the year that you discover your destiny in Christ Jesus. Maybe this will be the year that you finally understand and realize why God calls you and left you here. Ephesians 5:15-16 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly." Key in on that word, circumspectly. "See that you walk circumspectly, not like a fool, but as a wise person, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." What exactly does walk circumspectly mean? The Greek word for circumspectly is akribos, and it means to walk accurately or to walk exactly. That word simply means there's a right way to live your life and there's a wrong way to live your life. If you are a Christian, and this is who Paul was writing to, the church in Ephesus, you must learn to live the correct way. And that's called divine viewpoint. It's orienting to God's plan. And that type of thinking is introduced in the scripture, while human viewpoint is related to cosmic thinking of humanism and is inspired by AKA the devil himself. The Bible talks about this humanism, this human viewpoint, and here's what it says about that. If you're going to live the right way, you're going to have to change how you think. In Romans 12:2, "Do not be conformed to this world," that's human viewpoint thinking, "but be transformed by the renewing of your mind," that's divine viewpoint thinking, "so that you may prove that which is good, that which is acceptable, and that which is perfect, the will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one of us a measure of faith." So there is something good, divine good, not human good, divine good production. That's a wonderful thing. That means you're doing a right thing in the right way, and you will be rewarded with gold, silver, and precious stones, according to 1 Corinthians 3. But you can also do human good. And what is that? That's good deeds done in the energy of the flesh. A Christian does good deeds a lot. If you're a Christian and you're out of fellowship with God and you have unconfessed sin in your life and you give money to the church or you sing in the choir, you go to whatever, that's a good thing, but it's the wrong thing. Good works. Human good. The only thing that glorifies God is that which is produced through the filling of the Holy Spirit, and that's divine good. God wants you to produce divine good, and it is acceptable to Him. It's appreciative to Him, and it is perfect for Him. So that's what the Bible says. You must think soberly. You must learn to think. You must do not be conformed to this world. When you live by these divine mandates in Scripture, you can actually extend your life. I'm telling you, you can make your life be here longer. You don't believe me? Listen. Ephesians 6:1-3, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother," which is the first mandate, "with promise, that it may be well with you, and," listen now, "you may live a long time on this earth." In Deuteronomy 5:33, "You shall walk in all the ways which your Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess." Proverbs 3:1-2, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and a long life and peace they will add to you." There it is in the Bible. The scripture tells you this. If you change the way you think and quit thinking in terms of human viewpoint and learn to think in terms of divine viewpoint, in other words, thinking the mind of Christ, having scripture, then you actually can prolong your life. And part of it is because you'll have wisdom and insight that other people don't have. The secret to a long, full life is found in Proverbs 3:5-6. "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding," that's human viewpoint thinking, "in all your ways acknowledge Him," that's give God credit, "and He will direct your path." There it is. This is a great verse of comfort for me, and I hope it's a great verse of comfort for you. Because you and I, we have our very own guide through life. He will direct your path. Do you hear that? Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Let's say you've got a decision to make. Heads you do it, tails you don't do it. That's stupid. That's dumb. Why would you make a decision based on luck? You go to the Word of God. You find out what the Bible says about it. It does comment on when the decision you got to make is there. The answer is there. And if you will go to the Word under the filling of the Holy Spirit, in prayer, searching it out, acknowledge God, He will direct your path. He will show you. It's a great verse of comfort to have your very own guide through life when you think. You know, if you take a tour, I have friends that tour around the country, they hire tour guides to show them. If they go to the Jerusalem, they hire a tour guide to take them around and show them places. If you go fishing, you may hire a fishing guide to show you where to catch fish on the lake. If you go hunting, you may hire a hunting guide to help you find the game. And there's nothing wrong with having a guide, because the guide can show you the best place to see or the best place to fish or hunt, but usually it's at a fee. This is free. God will do this free. He doesn't charge you for this. If you will trust, that's the key to it, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust is a word for faith. If you will use faith, live by the faith rest drill, one of those problem-solving devices that we teach on the flatline of your soul is problem-solving device number 3. If you will live by faith and not lean to your own understanding, that's human viewpoint thinking, that's you going out and asking John Boy, what do you think, John Boy, I should do about this? Or going out and asking Mary Sue, what do you think I should do about this? Don't go looking for somebody else's opinion. Go to the Word of God in prayer and ask God, what am I supposed to do? And it says He will direct your path. How does He do it? He does it through Scripture. He does it through circumstances. He does it through a peace and a contentment in your heart. You don't have to second guess yourself when God shows you His will, because He gave you His very own personal guide to direct you through the distractions of the cosmic system. You want to see where that is in the Bible? Listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ told His disciples concerning their personal guide through life once He left them. In John 16, verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's for your advantage that I go away, because if I don't go away, then the Helper won't come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you." He's going to send them a helper. The Greek word is paraclete, a tutor, a guide, to guide them through life and to guide them in what they're supposed to do. You and I have the same guide in our life. It's the Holy Spirit. He indwells us and seals us, according to Ephesians 1:13. And thus we are commanded in the Bible to let the guide take control of our daily affairs. Galatians 5:16 says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and then you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh." And Ephesians 5:18 says, "Do not be drunk with wine, in which there is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." This is problem-solving device number 1, rebound. And problem-solving device number 2, the filling of the Holy Spirit. As a believer, when you sin, you quench and grieve the Holy Spirit. The Bible says you do that when you sin. And when you confess your sin, as per 1 John 1:9, the rebound verse we use, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us from all wrongdoing. When you use 1 John 1:9, then you are filled with the Holy Spirit. As soon as you sin, you quench the Spirit. As soon as you rebound, you're filled with the Spirit. This may happen several times a day, but this is the mandate from the Bible. You must walk in the Spirit. You cannot allow your flesh to take control, and it's easy to do. It's easy to malign someone. It's easy to criticize someone, especially a politician you don't like. It's easy to have lunch with a friend and criticize and malign and slander some politician you don't like, and that's called sin. So the Bible tells us, don't be drunk in your sin, don't be drunk with wine, where there's a lot of dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And that is a mandate by God to you, for you to allow the Holy Spirit to control your life, not your flesh. When you allow the Holy Spirit to control your life, When you allow the Holy Spirit to guide you, you will become a different person. You might not even be someone that people recognize. Listen to what the Bible says in Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Wow, does that sound like you? Do these verses describe your demeanor today? Are your friends, would they say that you are peaceful and long-suffering and kind and gentle and you have self-control? See, that's what comes under the filling of the Holy Spirit. And that's how we replicate the lifestyle of Christ, because everything here is identical to how our Lord Jesus Christ lived. So do those verses describe your demeanor? Are they talking about you? In this new year, the question I'm asking you is, will you discipline yourself to use rebound when you're aware of your personal sins? I'm talking about every day. And will you now take time in the future to study God's Word every day under a well-qualified pastor? Why is this necessary? Why must you be filled with the Spirit? Why must you study God's Word daily? Because if you don't, you will never experience the abundant life our Lord spoke about. In John 10:10, the Lord said, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly." That's the life the Lord Jesus Christ is offering you. By understanding problem-solving device number one, the rebound technique, how to confess your sin. By understanding the filling of the Holy Spirit, how to let the Holy Spirit control you and not your flesh. And by living by the faith rest drill, trust in the Lord, as we talked about. Then you have this phenomenal, abundant life the Bible talks about. The Greek word abundant is the word perisos. Perisos meaning exceeding your wildest expectations. Much more than you could have ever dreamed of. Beyond measure in your life. So the abundant life that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about, it's not some prosperity and success in business. It's not wealth and finances. It's about taking advantage of all of the operating assets that God has provided you. And there are many of them. Taking advantage of those assets. This verse is not about you chasing your dreams. Jeremiah, the prophet, spoke of false prophets who told people to believe in dreams. Listen to what God said through Jeremiah. "Behold, I'm against those," in Jeremiah 23:32. "I'm against those who prophesy false dreams," says the Lord, "who tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and their recklessness. Yet I did not send them, I did not command them, and they will not profit these people at all," says the Lord. God again, Jeremiah 23:21, "I did not send them, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. If they had stood in my counsel," listen carefully now, "if they had stood in my counsel, and if they had caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings." I could name a lot of pastors that this would be wonderfully applied to if they had taught God's word instead of teaching a dream. And instead of teaching something that's not there, instead of getting into some sort of social gospel, instead of getting into trying to clean up the devil's world, instead of getting into how you can be rich and have all these prosperity things. If they had taught my word, then it would have been a different thing. They would have turned them from their evil ways. Jeremiah 23:21. Listen. It doesn't take a genius to look at this nation, does it? It doesn't take a genius to look at the course of American history in this century. And it's clearly an indication that somebody has not been doing their job. And that somebody are the pastors of this land. You've heard me talk about the fog that has descended over America. Failure of spiritual leadership. Open rebellion in the streets to the rule of law. God's word rejected. Fog, F-O-G, failure of spiritual leadership, open rebellion in the land, failure of God's word rejected, F-O-G. When the church got into politics, that's when things started changing. It's obvious to me, and it should be obvious to you, that we need a lot more prayer and a lot less politics coming from the pulpit of America. That abundant life package that God has for me and God has for you includes fantastic, what we call, escrow blessings. Escrow. They're held in escrow until you reach maturity. God has them for you. They're there. In eternity past, God the Father deposited all these phenomenal blessings for you. He provided them for you in eternity past. For every problem that you would ever face in your life, there is a greater blessing than ever before. Even for Old Testament believers, you have more going for you. And it's held in escrow. They're far superior to any sort of logistical grace blessings like food, shelter, and clothing. These escrow blessings that I'm talking about, these are blessings in time and blessings in eternity that are far beyond. And they are related to the filling of the Holy Spirit. They're related to the scripture that you have in your soul called practical divine wisdom that gives you understanding, insight, and discernment. They're related to all of that. When you see what other people don't see, when you understand what other people don't understand, you have a great blessing. The term escrow simply means they were prepared by God in eternity past and reserved for every believer who can reach spiritual maturity. And they include spiritual blessings, temporal blessings, blessings of association. All of these things I'm talking about could be a complete study on their own. The truth is this. I want you to experience God's destiny for your life. I want you to understand that God has a history and a ministry for you. But you must start seriously studying the Bible. You must start seriously applying the scriptures to your life. I believe that you've played around with this stuff long enough. You've compounded the problems that you face because you're not consistent. You listen, you say, I enjoyed that sermon, preacher, and you listened a little bit, but you never applied it. You're what we call a fence setter. You don't have time to study on a daily basis because you're too busy with your hobby, with your family, with your job. You can't carve out a time in your life to make time for God's Word, can you? You're a fence setter. And you are not serious about your spiritual life. And I'll tell you what, you are wasting your time and you're wasting God's time. And you don't have a whole lot of time to start with. So my suggestion for you today as we go into the year 2023 is for you to start learning those 10 problem-solving devices and for you to now understand what God's protocol plan includes. You must understand rebound. You must understand the filling of the Holy Spirit. You must understand the faith rest drill. You must understand grace orientation, biblical orientation. You must understand a personal sense of destiny. You must understand virtue love between God's love for you and your love for others. And you must understand what it means to share the happiness of God and be occupied with Christ. There's a lot to understand, a lot to learn, a lot for you to comprehend. But you're not going to do it just piddling around with the Christian life. It's time for you in 2023 to get with it. It's time for you to get under the ministry of a well-qualified pastor and start studying daily in your home. If there's not one in your city, you can do it in your home. You can sit down at your desk or your table and take the Bible out and listen to it talk to you by the means of electronic media we have available today. It's time for you to get with it. Your time is running out. Your time is short. This may be the year you're called home, and I hope you don't go home embarrassed. I hope you don't go home and say, God say, okay, have a seat over there. I'll get to you in a few thousand years. You want to go home and hear, well done, my good and my faithful servant. I hope you're listening. I hope you're being challenged. I'll see you next week, same time. This is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.